time to enlighten up and health yourself at the same time. It's Natural Solutions Radio with Sir Eliezer Ben Joseph, traditional naturopath.
And good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining me here at Natural Solutions Radio. Be proud of yourself, and a little excitement is in order. For however you found yourself here at Natural Solutions Radio, there are no accidents. Here you are, knowing and believing truth to always be there when you need it. This is the show where you can learn to health yourself and enlighten up at the same time. You're about to enter the gateway into the world of natural health and freedom technologies, with alternative and complementary therapies, all representing the leading edge of natural medicine and social commentary today. Enjoy the information and entertainment you find here at Natural Solutions Radio. They were pegging this trend in society today. And the name of the article is "The Mass Dumbing Down of Humanity is Now Confirmed by Scientists. And so, you know, you go, well, that's kind of crazy. But it's the article goes on to say that mainstream media pundits are finally beginning to notice a disturbing trend that we have been warning about for quite some time. And that trend towards dumbness and idiocy throughout the West. The West, notice, not the Europe or anywhere else. In one recent op-ed published by NBC News, the author Evan Horowitz pegs this trend as a widespread IQ decline, indicating that intelligence levels are now trending downwards after many decades of moving upwards. Every decade since the Industrial Revolution, intelligence has increased for our children. And then they grew up and their children have increased. But and they're trying to figure out, you know, the reasons for this. Now, he's claiming that the decision or the decline remains largely unknown. Even though there are actually many, many elephants in the room that remain untouchable within the context of political correctness. So they're saying we don't know why people are getting stupid, but there's all kinds of elephants in the room. And let me give you a couple of them. The article never talks about artificial water fluoridation. You know, every study in the world has reported scientific research. One of the biggest studies came out of Harvard University, found that fluoride, the chemical fluoride, especially that put in drinking water, lowers IQ in children. So did Horowitz mention fluoride as even a possibility, as a possible factor in the IQ decline? Nope. He just avoided talking about these chemicals and everything else. Another one is he avoided talking about the chemicals sprayed on food, which are also associated with decreasing IQ levels among school children. Okay, there's also a great untouchable understanding about vaccination. And there's no fake news writer or correspondent has thus far indicated a willingness to even suggest that the vaccines and the chemicals that are contained in those vaccines might be harming children's brain. But the truth is, and scientific studies are, that it does. Back in 2015, there were studies, an extensive compilation of scientific studies and data showing that the vaccine chemicals like aluminum and mercury and solvents and adjuvants are basically destroying children's brains. But Horowitz, did he care about any of that? Apparently not. So, and we're injecting those right into the bloodstreams of these children, especially right at birth they're injecting. So, and he says, also, let's not forget about the growing amount of pharmaceutical drugs that's constantly hitting the market, and all of the antidepressants, anti-anxieties that are being pushed on children to deaden their brains so they'll sit still. And then we know that these chemicals impair the brains of developing children. But was that mentioned? No. So even though these aspects are these what they call elephants in the room, Horowitz actually he denies that those are even a factor in the plunging IQ. And that's another reason that we don't talk about is third world immigration. Though it's politically incorrect to suggest such, but the continued onslaught of migrants and refugees and undocumented people that are coming into the Western world and coming in illegally, in fact, having a detrimental effect on the collective state of intelligence. Most of the people that are coming to this and coming across the border illegally are uneducated, lower income, low job, they don't have professions, and they do have lower IQs because of lower education. And again, nobody talks about that, but when you keep bringing millions of people in to the society that have very little to, I guess, to contribute. Again, we do need manual labor, you know, agriculture and everything else, and that is necessary. But the continued onslaught of undocumented people into Western countries that are the lower IQs. And again, you can't really say that because now I'm going to be labeled as a racist. And again, even though the scientific studies speak for themselves. So again, here's this article about the dumbing down of people and all of the things that I just mentioned, including the devitalized food. The food that people are eating today just does not have the nutritional value of foods from 50 years ago. And so nobody talks about these. Nobody talks about the chemicals that everybody's being assaulted with. We're just going, we don't know. We can't figure it out. And one of the things about fluoride, as an example, fluoride chemicals are added to U.S. drinking water, and they're unprocessed. These are not special fluorides that have been designed. What these are chemicals from the agricultural industry and the aluminum industry and the fertilizer industry. These are byproducts of these industries. They're being put directly into the water. And we know that these fluoride chemicals have a very profound impact on the dumbing down of children. And we now know that the people, the states with the most fluoride and the countries with the most fluoride have the most toxic residues in the blood. And these chemicals are being placed in our drinking water. And they're actually unprocessed toxic waste products. And most people never take the time to question where all these fluorides added to our drinking water come from? And the answer is shocking. It's generally a pollutant captured from the phosphate fertilizer industry and chemical imports that come from China. And they're known for a lack of regulation. I mean, chemicals coming from China, that's for sure. So these chemicals aren't purified before they're added to drinking water. And it's not at all unusual for them to contain significant amounts of heavy metals, arsenic, mercury, lead, cadmium. So we know that fluoride has many dangers the brains of these children, or not just children, to everybody. So anyway, that's one of the articles that I wanted to start with this morning, is the dumbing down of people, and we think it's the fluoride and everything else that we might be having. Anyway, for people that are getting a lot of exposure to radiation, whether it's PET scans, CAT scans, a lot of x-rays, dental, chest, all of these. Russia did the most research, but spirulina is one of the finest, actually it's an algae, and it's you wouldn't call it an herb really, but it's an algae, and it's highly protective against radiation. And they actually did studies after Chernobyl, and the people that were taking spirulina, because it's a standard thing in Europe, a lot of people take spirulina, and they found that those that were taking the spirulina did not have the same kind of toxicity from radiation. So spirulina, not only does it help prevent with radiation, but it's also one of the most highly prized proteins. It's a 76% assimilatable protein. And it's a plant-based protein, so for vegetarians, it's one of the best sources of natural vitamins, minerals, and protein. So take advantage of it. Spirulina is one of those. You can get it in powders. You can... I like it in capsules. It's just so much easier that way. A lot of people don't like powders, you know, that taste so green. You know, they taste like eating grass. So, you know, I personally don't mind it, but it's a lot easier to take it in the capsule form. So you are on live. Are you a question or just listen only?
Yes, I have a couple of quick questions.
Okay.
And the first one is...
And what's your first name?
Spirulina.
Yeah, what's your first name?
This is Joy.
Okay, Joy. Nice.
Joy.
All right. Okay.
Would chlorella be as good
yes.
as spirulina? And then my second question is, my son's been studying some about iridology.
Yeah.
And he ran across a couple of iridologists who say that having green eyes means that you're severely toxic, and I don't know if there's any truth in that or
right.
not.
Right. Now, you got to be careful of that. Okay. First of all, chlorella can be as good as spirulina. The problem is, it's how is the chlorella processed? Because chlorella has a cell wall around it that's a very tough wall. And it's very hard to digest. So in all of the chlorellas have to be processed so that cell wall is broken. Now, there's different ways of doing that, chemicals or mechanical processes, but it has to be broken down before you get any kind of absorption. I think that the... spirulina, which is easily digestible, it doesn't have the same kind of cell wall, and it doesn't have a nucleus to it, and so that doesn't have to be broken down. But I think spirulina is much, much cheaper, and it's also more digestible. So unless the chlorella is a high-grade chlorella that you're aware of, and you know they're processing it properly, then I would go with the spirulina. And the second question with the iridologist, you got to be careful because there's so many things with iridology. I've studied iridology since the late 60s with some of the foremost people in the world. One of my mentors was Bernard Jensen, who's considered really in the United States the father of iridology. And then I've studied with Lionel Silver, Ray Yancey, John Christopher, and all of these were top herbalists, naturopaths, and iridologists. So they're going to tell you, you know, a lot of things that you see in the eye means you're toxic this, your liver's breaking down here. And you have to be careful because the eye only tells you what's called energetic aspects of what's happening. And just because you see an open lacuna in the area where the liver is, it doesn't mean your liver is breaking down. So you have to take a lot of it with a grain of salt. I practice more what's called the RAID method of iris analysis, because the RAID method, you're looking at what is the brain's lesson? What does it mean when we see open lacunas or the dark spots in the eyes or different colors or the white ring around the outside? Each one of those things means something, but it can have a psychological impact much more than a physiological impact. So again, when you're studying iridology, iridologists, let me tell you, don't go against what their their tried and true, what they've been taught since the early 60s, because a lot of that stuff has changed, and we can now, especially with the new cameras, we take photographs of the eyes and put it right in a computer. But I like the psychological assessment telling you what's behind what you see in the eye. You know, what is the brain processing? Are you more introverting or extroverting? Are you more right brain or left brain? Are you more an auditory person, a kinesthetic person, or a visual person? Because every human on the planet processes information one of three ways. You can either be auditory, visual, or kinesthetic. And the eye can tell us these things. So when you look at that, again, depending upon who you go to, you can, when you go to an iridologist, everything that they see in the eye is something wrong. So when you go in there and you feel great and you're doing well and you just want to get a iris assessment, and then they start telling you, well, this fiber means this and this fiber means that, everything you see in iridology is something wrong with the body. Where in the RAID method, that's not the case. What you're seeing is what the lessons are, what the brain is attempting to learn. So we do that. We take and do private consultations on the eyes, and that's something that you can call the office and talk about. But it's quite fascinating and a really cool thing to study, especially you get in, take a photograph of your eyes, blow it up, put it on a computer and look at it, and you go, oh, wow. Is that what, that's what my eyes look like close up. So anyway, I see the light on. We've got to take our break for our last commercial of this first hour. And let's go ahead and do that. And when we get back, I've got some more articles to talk about. Anyway, I hope I answered your question on that. So, and when we get back, we'll take that other caller. Okay, this is Eliezer Ben-Joseph, Natural Solutions Radio. We'll be right back. To get us on the telephone number is 646-478-4444. 5814. And Don, you said there was another caller?
There is. We did actually have two questions regarding
that last call too.
One question was, what is your opinion about Moringa? And then the second question was, can you do eye analysis remotely if we send in pictures of our eyes?
Yes, we can do that if the photographs are good. Yeah. And then, you know, it just depends. Is it a photograph? Is it something I can put into the computer? Or do I have to look at a slide? Or just depends what the mode is that they're sending me.
Yeah. As long as you get a good, you know, light and a picture with your phone, it'll work. But I've done it with my phone, but we had to get another phone, turn on the flashlight, you know, shine it
sideways.
Perfectly, yeah. Make it so that, you know, you don't get the blur.
And with these new phones, so many megapixels, yeah. You can just take a close up of the face,
yeah.
Go right to the eye,
that's
and
true.
Then blow it up and see it. So,
yeah,
you know,
clear.
We can do that. So, yes, we can do that. Was that the another question?
That was the second question. The first one was, because I guess we were talking about spirulina and
yeah.
chlorella. So, what do you think about moringa?
Oh, moringa is it's a very good herb. It's actually considered by many places to be a whole food. And so. It's not one of the common herbs around. You don't see it all over a lot of stores. It's one of the new kids on the block. You'll see it coming up more and more. But if you have a good source, the company you trust, then Moringa can be very beneficial. Thanks for calling, Dennis. Good morning. How can I help?
Yeah, question for you is that I've seen a urologist and with a PSA of 4.2, his recommendations that he wants to do an ultrasound and a biopsy. I was wondering, is there an alternative?
Yeah. What I would say is first, an ultrasound I don't mind, okay, but we don't want to do a biopsy. And what was the number, 4.2?
Yes.
Yeah, 4.2 is not high. So what we look at, though, is over a period of time, did that number go from, say, 2.3 to 4.2 in 1 month or 2 months, then we weren't going to do more. But I still don't like biopsies. What I would request is an ultrasound. If the ultrasound is positive, then what I would do is request an MRI. And an MRI is pretty conclusive. I would look at that, and then I would bring those results in and we'd go over those results. But I don't like biopsies. Biopsies are invasive, and they can always cause mistakes. So, and then they have to do punch biopsies. They have to go in and keep punching a bunch of different holes because it just depends where the cancer is, if there is cancer, because they can punch all around it, and it's all negative, and they don't get it. So they'll do 10, 12 punches. And so... we don't like that. It inflames the prostate, and then your prostate has to heal, and then there's scar tissue. So if we cannot do a biopsy, then I wouldn't do one.
Okay. Yeah, the actual prostate numbers is, it was 3.3 last October, and a year before that was 2.8. So it's
very slowly. Yeah, so basically you could even just have a little prostate infection or what's called BPH where the prostate swells up a little bit. One of the things that I would do is Nature Sunshine has two formulas. One is called Men's Formula, which is a combination of things. Whoop, there's all kinds of noise in the background. Be careful.
Sorry.
Okay. Okay. And so it has Pygium africanum, it has stinging nettles, it has salt palmetto. All of these are to help the prostate, nutrition for the prostate, and they help provide all of the nutrients for the prostate. Studies have been done on salt palmetto, and it does work very well to help shrink the prostate if there is something swollen. And so it can, it would be the first line of defense that I would grab before anything else.
Yeah.
Men's formula and salt palmetto.
Yeah, I've been taking men's formula now for about the last 4 weeks based on your recommendations of a phone call.
I would add also
5 weeks ago.
Yeah, add the saw palmetto, the concentrate.
Okay.
They're little pearls, and you take maybe one twice a day, and that's going to make a big difference. And then get a number again in about 2 months, and we should start seeing those coming back down. And if it ever does turn to cancer, then you'd come in and we'd do a whole program because we have very good results with most cancers and prostate cancer. And the other thing is, let me ask you a personal question. How old are you?
I'm 67.
So a lot of these cancers on older men take 20 years to grow. So oftentimes doing nothing is just as good or sometimes even better than trying to be aggressive. So let's not worry about it. Add the salt palmetto. In a month or so, get another number and let me know what those are.
Okay.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, this is a word of I've seen also a kidney specialist, and I showed her that I was taking Prime Longevity, and I showed her what was in it, and she was really sold on the stuff.
Oh,
cool.
She was
really impressed on the formulation of it. So.
Yeah, there's very little.
Kudos to you.
Oh, really? Thank you. Tell her thank you very much. Because there, I'm proud of myself. There is not a single formula on the market that can come close to the formulation of Prime Longevity. So no question about it. It is really a top of the line. If you're an athlete, as an example, and you take Prime, once you start it, you'll never go off of it because you're going to find that your performance starts to increase just tremendously, and if you go off of it, it's going to make a big difference, okay? What was the Gleason score? Did they do that for you?
No, they did not.
Okay, so then don't worry. Next time you get a blood test, just have them find out what the Gleason score is, because that can tell us if you're approaching prostate cancer or not. So that's another good number to get. All right, Dennis, thank you very much.
Thank you, doctor. You have a good day.
Okie doke, thank you.
Oh, and
yes.
Please keep me on voice listen only.
Oh, yes, okay, thank you.
Definitely.
We got you.
Thank you.
Okie doke. Okay, one of the articles I wanted to mention, because sometimes there's a lot of confusion about foods, and there's a lot of foods that people really don't eat growing up because they knew them as unhealthy. And the foods that you eat or don't eat may have been influenced by the media or corporations. So there's 9 foods that a lot of people commonly perceived as unhealthy and that are actually quite beneficial and good for you. So I want to mention those 9 foods. And number one is bananas. And a lot of people don't eat bananas because of the high carbohydrate, sugar rich. However, consuming bananas in moderation actually helps regulate blood sugar levels because of their high pectin fiber content. In addition, bananas provide many nutrients, potassium, B6, copper. They're very high dense food. Actually, if you go on YouTube and type in fasting with bananas or banana fasting, go into YouTube and look at that. You'll get all kinds of hits. There's people that have been eating like 25 bananas a day for 6 months, even a year. And I remember one of the guys that does the banana fasting. He was on the show on TV called The Doctors. And they were saying, oh, that's so dangerous. You'll get too much potassium. Your heart's going to be damaged. And so he said, test me. He says, I've been eating 25, 30 bananas a day for 6 straight months on nothing else, no other foods. He said, do all the testing you want. And they did, and he was perfectly healthy. I mean, cholesterol, sugars, His hemoglobin A1C was down in the low fives. He was healthy, and they were absolutely stumped. So bananas is number one. Now, number two, of course, chocolate. And now, when I say chocolate, there's a big difference between milk chocolate and dark chocolate. And people avoid chocolate because of the high sugar content. However, chocolate made with cacao, no artificial ingredients, no dairy, nothing else, just the chocolate, maybe butter and some sugar, especially if you're getting between 75 and 85% chocolate. It's actually a really healthy, healthy food. And real chocolate contains more polyphenols and other powerful anti-aging antioxidants than most other foods. So, again, these substances protect diseases and prevent DNA damage. So a good piece of chocolate, dark chocolate, that's above 75%, and you cannot go wrong. And that you can reap many benefits. Number three is coconut oil. And many people avoided coconut oil because they kept hearing about the saturated fat. And there were studies that show that the that there's no association between the consumption of saturated fat and a higher risk of heart disease. In fact, research have shown that this type of oil is actually good for your heart and can help increase your levels of high-density lipoproteins. That's the HDL or the good guys. And because it has a medium-chain triglyceride, medium-chain fatty acid. So it can help fight bacteria. It's antibacterial. And it also boosts your metabolism. And you can use coconut oil as a substitute for butter. And it's a very high in medium chain triglycerides, which produce energy and not, it doesn't produce fat and raise your cholesterol. Number four is coffee. Drinking a cup or two of coffee has health benefits. It's all the garbage that they put into the coffee that raises your risk. So coffee itself, especially buying organic coffee, has very high antioxidants. Number five is egg yolks. And if you're eating omega-3 eggs, then that yolk is very different from a chicken that is fed omega-6 compounds. So egg can be consumed unlimited, really, in my opinion, but they'll always tell you, have you ever noticed it went from one or two eggs a week, and then all of a sudden there was an article that came out that eating three or four eggs a day improved eyesight and reduced your risk of macular degeneration. And I wonder what happened to the in-between. Where did it go from one or two a week to four a day? So, again, healthy egg yolks from omega-3 eggs, nothing to worry about. Then, a lot of people didn't, number six, was grass-fed beef. Beef and other red meats are usually avoided because of their high saturated fat cholesterol content. Again, neither of these contribute to an increased risk of heart disease. Now, grass-fed beef are safer and healthier to eat. They provide high-quality protein, vitamin B12, zinc, selenium, iron, but also the fat is much more omega-3 than omega-6. When cows eat grass, the grass contains omega-3 oils. When they eat corn and soybeans, those contain omega-6 oils. So be careful. The next one are nuts and seeds, and nuts are avoided because they, again, have high calories, high fat. But again, if you're eating healthy organic nuts like almonds and pecans and walnuts and sunflower seeds and pumpkin seeds, these are very high rich in minerals, and they're rich in antioxidants like vitamin E, essential minerals, copper, magnesium, selenium, and they also very high grade sources of fat. And again, they're omega-3 fat. And the next one is a compound called sardines. Not just any, but the canned sardines you see everywhere. They're consumed in whole, and usually you see these in these little cans, and they can be made with mustard or hot sauce or anything else. And they are really high in healthy omega-3 and omega-6. They have vitamin D. They can lower your risk of cancer. So sardines, another very healthy food. And then number nine is they call offal, O-F-F-A-L. And that's one of those, that's a type of food that are the internal organs of animals, like the liver and the heart and the lungs and the brains and the pancreas. And those things are usually not eaten very much. But when you look at animals in the wild, carnivores, those are the first things that carnivores eat. They don't eat the muscles of the animal. So people don't realize eating liver and the organ meats, like the heart, liver, and the kidneys, are very high amounts of vitamins, like vitamin A, and this is true vitamin A. And so these are the nine foods that can be very, very beneficial. And I think you can't go wrong with these kinds of foods. There are some signs that can really help you to tell you that you know you're deficient in vitamins. And a good, well-balanced diet on organic foods and nutritious, actually, you know, taking your nutritional supplements. On the other hand, if you're eating a lot of foods that lack nutrients, they can cause a lot of symptoms, and recognizing them can just help you adjust your food intake. So there are four most common signs of vitamin and mineral deficiencies. Number one is brittle hair and nails. And you're looking at compounds that are in the B vitamins, like biotin and B vitamins completely, and essential fatty acids. And they play in a complete important role in strengthening the hair and nails. Minerals like zinc and silica. So if you have brittle hair, brittle nails, add essential fatty acids, add silica from bamboo, add a good prime longevity because it has all the B's in it, and so that's going to really help. Number two is mouth ulcers, or a lot of sores in your mouth, or cracks in the corners of your mouth. And people with mouth ulcers or cracks in the corners of their mouth, you want to try consuming more foods with thiamine, riboflavin, pyridoxine, and iron. And these, again, are mostly the B vitamins, and of course iron is a mineral, and will help to alleviate those symptoms. Another one is bleeding gums when you brush your teeth or floss. But if you're eating a lot of fresh fruits and fresh vegetables, so if you don't eat those, you can develop a vitamin C or bioflavonoid deficiency, and that's the unpleasant symptoms of bleeding gums. So just add a good vitamin C. I use Nature's Sunshine Vitamin C Complex, and I take it in the time-release form. It's full spectrum, and I really like that. It's I think the highest grade that I use on the market. And the number four is poor night vision and white growths on your eyes. And that could be low vitamin A intake, and that causes poor night vision. You need vitamin A. Now, some people will take their vegetarian source of vitamin A, which is are the carotenes, carotenoids, yellow vegetables, like carrots as an example. But if you're prone to diabetes, you're not going to convert the carotenes to pure vitamin A. So oftentimes I just tell people, take a vitamin A little teeny capsule. It's usually in some kind of a fish oil, and that will really make a difference. So if you take these, and you'll see that you'll notice right away that all of those symptoms disappear. The next one that I wanted to cover is there's some tips to help to reduce high blood sugar and cholesterol levels in your blood. Now, when you hear these, you're going to go, well, that's evident, you know, self-evident. And yet a lot of people forget the stuff that's right in front of their nose. Now, all this evidence comes from the U.S. National Library of Medicine and the National Institutes of Health. So here are a few tips. Eat healthy fats. And to reduce cholesterol levels, many people cut out sources of fat from their diets. However, research has shown that eating healthy fats like avocados and raw nuts like walnuts and pecans and almonds and raw seeds like sunflower and pumpkin seeds and flax and chia, and eating healthy fatty fish like salmon and sardines, and eating olives and olive oil, they all can help reduce your LDL or the bad cholesterol. They can increase the good cholesterol and improve blood sugar levels dramatically. The next one is reduce your intake of garbage or added sugars. Things like processed cereals or candies and ice creams and a lot of baked goods and donuts and sweetened beverages. But sugar is the culprit, not fat. And sugar negatively affects both cholesterol and blood sugar. So cut out all those added sugars, and you'll also notice that your weight begins to improve. Then the next one is consume more vegetables, especially organic. So increasing the intake of both fresh and cooked vegetables can significantly improve blood sugar and cholesterol. And add these vegetables like spinach and artichoke and bell peppers and broccoli and cauliflower and green beans and those kinds of foods are very, very healthy. Carrots and celery. So, and then the last one is eat mostly whole, nutritious foods. So relying on packaged foods or fast food restaurants could damage your health. And everybody knows that now. But, you know, eating a whole, nutritious, whole foods and healthy meals, prepare more meals at home using whole, nutrient-rich foods that support your metabolic health. And again, these are the foods like vegetables and beans and healthy fruits and healthy sources of protein and fat, including fish, nuts, seeds, olive oil. And these are the ways to really increase your health. But when you hear those, all of a sudden you can go, oh, wow, that makes sense. And, you know, it's like self-evident almost. And then I covered some foods that talked about what we call, you know, the nine foods that were considered unhealthy but are really healthy. Well, here's seven foods that you can eat that actually will help you look younger. And out of the seven, again, you'll hear I just mentioned those. Those are the same foods that help to keep your sugars and cholesterol under control. So the seven foods that can help you look younger is, number one is olive oil. It has strong anti-inflammatory properties that can protect your skin, the elasticity of the skin, decrease your risk of sun damage. Also, flax oil can really help. Number two is green tea. It has very strong antioxidant properties, protect your skin's collagen from sun damage, and reduces signs of aging. And number three is fatty fish. Things like wild salmon and sardines, they really make a difference. They can help in your response to inflammation and sun exposure, especially the salmon, because they have high amounts of a compound called astaxanthin. That's what makes them turn pink, improves your skin elasticity. Then again, number four was dark chocolate. We talked about that in the last time. It's very high in polyphenols. Then organic vegetables. They provide all kinds of sun protection and prevent free radical damage to the skin. And this is due largely to their antioxidant effects. And then number six is flax seed. Not just flax oil, but the flax seed protects your skin from sun damage and improve the smoothness and elasticity of the skin. And then number seven is avocados. Now, I would add olives onto that, but avocados have been known for many years to help protect the DNA in your skin cells. So those are seven foods that are very, very healthy. So no question about it. Who are we talking to? Or are you listen only?
This is Cecilia.
Hi there.
Hi.
Do you have a question, or are you just listening?
Well, both. But yes, I do have a question. I've been to an endocrinologist recently. I do suffer from hypothyroid for about 20 years now. Over the last 5 years, I've had increased symptoms of intolerance to heat, excessive sweating, hair loss. I've been to different doctors. My lab work continues to come out normal.
Yeah, well, they're normal.
I don't feel well, though.
Right, they're normal. It's because they're looking at TSH. And the problem is TSH is an insignificant number when it really comes to how you feel. Now, if you go back 25 years, 30 years, doctors used to treat clients and patients according to how they feel, not just by numbers on a blood chemistry. So you can't trust the numbers on thyroid, because as an example, let's say you have a low TSH, let's say 0.05. Okay, we like it to be at least between 1 and 2, or 1 and 2.5. So that would tell you that your thyroid is hyper. But when you look at the T4 and T3, you'll often find that those are in the normal range or in the low range. So when you look at it, it's contradictory to what the TSH says. TSH says your thyroid is too fast. Now, to help thyroid, you need two things. You need iodine. So oftentimes we use Lugol solution, and you start with one drop a day. Did they put you on Synthroid?
Yes.
Okay, did they add Cytomel with it or just Synthroid?
No, just Synthroid.
So Synthroid is T4, and T4 is strictly a storage hormone. It's not an active hormone. It has to be converted to T3. Now, to be in the conversion, you have to have niacin and iron and a lot of the B vitamins, but you also have to have true vitamin A, because vitamin A, not the carotenoids, the vitamin A or fish oil, helps convert the T4 to T3. So oftentimes it's a conversion process. So if you add iodine at between 1 and 3 drops, again, you start with 1 drop, a week later you add another drop, a week later you add a third drop. When you're on Synthroid, that should be enough. And then the other thing I would have him do is ask for a prescription for Cytomel, which is thyroid T3, which is the active thyroid, and you need that. Now, if you don't want to hassle with the doctor, you can come by our store. We have a desiccated thyroid called bovine thyroid. Comes from New Zealand, and they're organic cows, and they're desiccated. They take the thyroid gland and they grind it up, and you get the full complement of T4, T3, T2, T1. So you are correct in your symptoms. Don't listen to the doctor. They're going to tell you you're just depressed, you're just upset, and that there's nothing really wrong. And yet, that's not true. You get a new doctor, and you tell them, look, you've been reading, and that you only gave me T4, which is an inactive hormone, and I want to be treated properly, or give me my chart and refer me to another doctor. Again, you can come by and get a bovine thyroid and start with 1, and maybe 1 for the first 1 or 2 weeks. Then you can add 2 if you need to, and again, the iodine and the vitamin A, and you should start noticing right away you feel better. I would add Prime Longevity because that's going to give you your insurance policy of all the other nutrients that you need. So that's going to be something. And I think you'll do well just taking those nutrients that I'm suggesting. Okay?
Thank you.
Oh, you're
Thank
so
you very
welcome.
Much.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.